My guest in the studio tonight was raised in Beirut. She moved to Armenia in her early 20s to study at the piano at the Comitas Conservatorium of Music. Now, about 10 years ago, she arrived here in Australia and has studied at the Sydney Conservatorium of Music under mentors such as Judy Bailey and Matt McMahon. She's about to release her debut album entitled Transition with her own quintet, Zila Magossian. Welcome to Now's the Time.
Thanks for having me on the show. Thank you.
Zila, your early musical influences came from music that you were hearing in Beirut, the folk music, the Arabic music. How did that sort of spark an interest in music for you overall? How did it blossom from those early influences?
Yeah, I was exposed to a lot of genres of music in Beirut, being very cosmopolitan and lots of cultures and influences from the West. I was mainly exposed to Arabic music on the radio and on TV. As an Armenian family, we didn't grow up listening to Arabic music. It was Armenian music. And when my mother saw that I have the ability to sing correctly and wanted to play the piano, so I started at a very young age. And classical music was the only genre I played up until I actually graduated from the conservatorium in Yerevan, Armenia. But while I was living in Armenia, I went to all the jazz gigs, the Armenian ethno jazz bands. And when I discovered them deep inside, I knew what the void was that I always felt in me when I was playing classical, although I enjoyed it, but it wasn't. I just, every time I performed solo or even with an ensemble, and once I performed with the Lebanese Symphony Orchestra, I didn't feel the satisfaction that I feel now when I play the music that I love.
Was your family especially musical, or?
None of my family members are musicians. They love music, but none of them are musicians. We have distant relatives who have, one of them has passed away. Unfortunately, he was a composer. And my mom tells me that my grandfather used to play the violin by ear. So there is something in the family.
So it was really your time in Armenia where this love of jazz, this bug, you were stung by the bug of jazz. So how did that happen? I mean, were you going to live gigs or...?
Yeah, mainly the friends that I had at the con were the jazz students. I hung out with the classical students as well, but only because we had to practice chamber music and trio and whatnot. But I enjoyed hanging out with them because I liked what they were doing. And when I was first introduced to the Armenian Navy Band, ironically, it's called Armenian Navy Band. Armenia doesn't have an outlet to the sea, but the leader was Arso Tunç Boyajian, who was a very famous percussionist. And my friend who was at the con was recruited in the band, so he started playing bass guitar in the band. So because he was my friend, all of us used to go and watch him play. And yeah, that was the first band that just made my jaw drop, because it just went straight into my soul what they were playing, first of all. And there was another band led by Vaha Kayrabedian called The Cats, Gaduner in Armenian. And they did everything that I liked. And it was like music just dropped down from heaven. And then I remember telling myself, I really want to do this, but I was stuck in preparing my repertoire for my diploma concert and everything. So that's why I never studied jazz while I was in Armenia. And also another reason, I think, was because it's very male-dominated in Armenia specifically. Most singers, and this is not a bad thing, but most women are jazz singers. So it was a bit a difficult choice for me to make then. Just, you know, it's, you can't say, oh, okay, I'm not just going to go and learn jazz, because you don't know where to go.
And the Navy Band, were they consciously fusing together the folk music with the American tradition? Is that what they were doing? Or?
The Cats, they were doing that more than the Armenian Navy Band. Armenian Navy Band was more of avant-garde folk. but the cats were fusion of, they were very big fans of Joe Zawinul, so you can hear that kind of weather report type of experimental stuff going on in the music. But they had traditional Armenian instruments in the lineup.
A bass player in Sydney, who you probably know by the name of Lloyd Swanton, he said many years ago that the most interesting jazz was being made where jazz collided or fused with other cultural musics. Now, that would seem to be still the case for you today with your music on this brand new release, Transition. Is that how you regard your music, or is it, or do you regard it even a progression, a hybrid of that?
Yeah, definitely a hybrid. And I can't even give it a name, because for me it is... The reason I call it ethno jazz is because I am infusing jazz harmonies and improvisation into the music. To me, it can be ethno world jazz, avant-garde folk jazz. It's very hard to label it. And also, I should also say that I still don't consider myself as a jazz pianist. It's just that I used to perform classical music, and then I got the knowledge of all the jazz harmonies, and I'm still studying, by the way, so I'm not even close to becoming a jazz pianist anytime soon, but it just made my ideas and music richer when I discovered how to do and how to write those things.
The Me Too movement is now well underway in the area of performing arts. But this is a question I've been asking female jazz artists for many, many years, way before the Me Too movement. Have you ever experienced a situation of inequality while on the jazz band stage?
To be honest, I haven't had much experience playing, let's say, real jazz with people here in Sydney. I mean, fortunate to discover the boys that I'm playing with my music, and it clicked. And I was never even thinking of composing this many tunes, because I never considered myself a composer. But in my experience, I never had any negative experiences or situations that I was in. And also, I should say that when I was growing up in Beirut and playing classical music, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was my character, or maybe the way my mother brought me up. I never thought that another boy would play better than me. Not like I didn't purposefully think of that. It never crossed my mind, because I knew it was just something that I could do. Yeah. Mm. So that's how I grew up. To be honest, when I came here, when I didn't know any jazz, I was scared, because I knew what my potential was, but because I didn't have the knowledge and experience, I knew that that's the reason why I can't still play. But I know that if I gain more experience, I'll be as... I'm not saying this in a pretentious way, but I can be, or any other woman can be, as equal to any other man playing jazz.
Can you tell us what qualities now your band members bring to your music? We mentioned Stuart... Van de Graaff off air, but there are others here as well.
Yes. So initially I met Adam, the percussionist, with his brother, who used to play in the band but now is in Germany, in another ensemble we were in together. And instantly Adam and I clicked musically, and also on a personal level he's one of my very best friends. And when we were exchanging ideas, and I had composed a few tunes at the con, and I showed it to him. And I know immediately that he understood what I want, and he's a lover of odd time signatures, and I love it too. From our cultures, we know 5/8, 7/8. It's sort of, especially for Adam, it's very natural. So Adam was not a problem. We clicked instantly. Elson, I met through Adam in the other ensemble that we were in. And Elson is a double bass, like world music expert, new music. And he loves to experiment with all kinds of music, especially Oriental, Middle Eastern. And he plays with other musicians as well from all over the world, especially from the Middle East. Yeah, he instantly could do anything that I wanted him to do. Very like powerful bass player. When I met Alex Inman Hislop at the con, we were in classes together, and he immediately grabbed my attention with his style of playing and his ideas. And I knew instantly that he would be, if I ask him, if he says yes, I would be happy. And Stuart, when Metin left, we invited Stuart to join us. And because Stuart has studied Middle Eastern music and playing quarter tones on the saxophone, and he recently finished his master's degree, and him knowing all those Arabic tunes, and he implements all of his knowledge in the solos and, yeah, in the music that we play.
And he also plays the clarinet, which we mentioned off air before. It's such a wonderful sounding instrument in this particular setting. It feels so at home with this music, doesn't it? What about your writing? You're writing for some of these Persian scales or Arabic scales?
Yeah, they are. It can be called Arabic because there are similar modes in Armenian as well. But they're mainly, I think, more in Armenian in terms of scales. I think it's just the way I hear the music in my head. I don't think necessarily Armenian. It just comes out that way, just because I've played a lot of Armenian music and listened to a lot of Armenian jazz.
You've performed at the Beirut Jazz Festival. Mm. Where would you like to take this now that it's getting traction on Spotify?
Yeah.
You're launching the album tomorrow night. It's a beautifully presented album as well.
Thank
I must admit, the artwork and the photography is just fantastic. It seems to suit the style of music, the stonework on the front, and it's wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's scary. I don't know. We would love to get this music to people who love listening to this kind of music. So now the album has been released like digitally for over two weeks or 3 weeks now, and I haven't even had time to it hasn't sunk in yet. So I think the next step, what we have to do, is take a look at all the festivals, the potential ones that we might be able to get into, and apply. Yeah.
Ardashunsh,
yes, that's correct.
Tell us a little bit about Exhale.
Yes, so quickly, it's a part of the triptych piece that I have. The first movement is called Drop, which represents teardrop, and it's about a lot, like losing. It can be anything, a country, person, a loved one. And we usually, when we lose someone, it's very sad. But the second movement is called Inhale. You take a breath and you continue on, soldier on. And Exhale is the after.
The relief.
Yeah, the relief afterwards. Yeah, that's it.
Well, thanks very much for joining
us. Thank you for having me on. Thank you.